Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Are those birds chirping?
Oh, yeah.
Great. hey, everybody. God, this is going to be a good show. Hey, everybody. This is Craig Custance again with The Athletic, joined by a flock of birds. Sean Gentile. And you enjoy recording a podcast when you spend a half hour before the podcast we hit record talking, and we probably should have just recorded our last half hour with producer Jeff and stories of, you know, me almost getting arrested in Canada for chopping trees down. But we're going to actually talk hockey, I think, a little bit. At the very least, we have a great guest to this week's show, probably the best guest of any Athletic hockey show this week. Mm-hmm. Easy, hands down. Jack Hughes, as Sean noted many times, breakout candidate Jack Hughes of the New Jersey Devils.
It's a courageous call by a smart man. The number one pick 2 years ago is going to be good.
Wow.
And then you had the audacity to say to Jack, as you all will hear later, "Hey man, don't you hate it when people identify you as a breakout?"
It's a valid question. Like, it's like people forget how good he was last year. Like, he already kind of broke out. He was awesome last year.
But you're the one saying it all the time.
I think
that he's a breakout.
I've never said that in my life. Not once.
I think this podcast, we already considered him a star. Like, yeah. We're not like Jack Hughes to us. If you go back and roll the tape, as we were doing our fantasy team, we picked him. We were offended he was in the leftovers category in the office.
That is a disgrace.
That'll go back. That's going to go back in fantasy hockey history as, you know, one of the most overlooked slights.
We knew that we were screwing up whenever we didn't. Well, here's what I'll say. He would have been tough to put him in tier four in the players tier project, right? That me and Dom and Corey
put out. Yeah, that's right.
It's just like it's a little bit too early. But we also knew, or were cognizant of the fact that it could easily blow up in our faces. And there were a few guys like that, but he definitely led the way where we're like, you know, the production just isn't there yet. We'll see in 2022, I guess. But we, you know, just knew that had egg on the face potential, right? And I feel like a lot of people in various spaces were kind of in that mode with Jack, where you're like, okay, thinking about Olympic rosters, like, do we put him on it? Do we wait? Do we put a little asterisk next to his name? Like, well, like whatever, because everyone did need to see, you know, some increased production. For as good as all his numbers were last year, he was a possession beast. He was an expected goals beast. It just didn't quite, you know, translate into deliverable numbers, right? So people were waiting to see that. And yes, we're one game in, but I don't think it could have gone any better.
No, as we mentioned, we're ready to call it. One game in. This is a huge year for Jack Hughes.
One game in. It's time for the contract extension. A big one. Yeah, big one.
Which we talked about.
Big one.
Big one, yeah.
And it's time for not just a spot on the Team USA roster, but
the
Let's make our guy
captaincy.
Let's make our guy exactly. Let's make our guy captain. Top six.
That's good.
Who's gonna play behind Austin Matthews? Not gonna be Jack Eichel.
Nope. So that's a great chat. Jack's great. So what I like about Jack. So I sent my brother. Yeah. My brother's a big card guy. He's into sports cards. He's not a huge hockey guy. But I said, hey, you know, he's always looking for like the hockey. I'm like, hey, this would be a good time to pick up a couple of those Upper Deck, one of the Young Guns, Jack Hughes, whatever they're going for on eBay. And you know, he was just like, well, you know, how come? And then he brought up a good point. He goes, and I'm like, he's a star. He's all the skill in the world, but he also has a ton of personality. Like, you know, as you'll see in the interview, and we saw the stick flip into the stands. We've seen it with. He's having a good time. And my brother brought this up. He goes, oh, ESPN, you know, they'll eat that up. Like, they're going to blow him up. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. We're going to have Turner and ESPN.
Wait a second here.
Yeah, they'll latch on. If he has personality, you know, the pedigree, and he's also really good at hockey, they in a, you know, New York area market, they will latch onto that.
The Devils are like one of the defining teams of the NHL and ESPN era. Like I think of,
that's right.
I think of them because they were at their peak, right? It's mid 90s stuff. I don't know. Not that matters, but like we've seen that from ESPN before, if nothing else. They're not afraid to pump up the Devils. There's reason to do it now. That team's really interesting. I don't know if they're quite there yet. I think there's a lot of teams like in the mushy middle of that division. I think two through six, maybe two through seven can all, it's like, you know, draw names out of a hat when it comes to that, right? But so I'd be hesitant to straight up pick them to make the playoffs this year, but I'm expecting them to be certainly better and possibly legitimately good. And he's a big part of that.
So that's the fun. We're going to start on a bit of a downer because we've come here as a podcast not to praise the Seattle Kraken, but I think we're done with them. I think we've seen enough. We're ready to. Another thing we're ready to call. This is like the early election night coverage when they start calling states. They're not good, Sean.
Are the Seattle Kraken bad? And can we make that call after three games? I'm saying yes.
You are. All right. I don't want to overreact.
You hear that? I know. You hear that, Seattle? The bad boys of hockey podcasting.
Oh my gosh. We're bailing on them.
Yeah,
already.
What was that game against the Flyers last night? It was horrendous. I checked into it for a little bit. I'm like, this is supposed to be a good defensive team. They got six hung on them by Philly last night. It was a disaster.
That's the thing. Like you sat there and watched. You go, okay, maybe we worry about how they're going to score goals, but we can definitely count on them being good defensively, and they're going to get good goaltending. That much we knew, right?
Man, imagine if Grubauer turns into a pumpkin for them. If he reverts,
yeah,
he was good for years, right? There's no real reason to think that, but goalies are strange, and if he has some kind of, you know, rough run here, I mean, granted they got Dreger, so you know, God bless them, they at least have an option there, but to have your big swing, you know, not show out in the first few games, that can't be great.
The other thing I noticed watching the and they haven't even played a home game yet, right? Seattle, I think they're home.
By the way, funny situation with that. It's Christmas Eve, I think, is when they play.
That's right.
The broadcast situation on their home opener is like all screwed up. We don't need to get into the minutia on that, but it's not streaming only. It's not going to be on local TV. Like it's not an ESPN game. I don't really know what's happening.
It's
there.
A mess.
Yeah.
I noticed during the first game, like I'll say the collective hockey universe wanted to draw these parallels to Vegas so badly, mm-hmm. that I think there was some assumptions made that players that people would say, I heard this a couple times, oh, this will be their William Karlsson. Like, this guy is going to break out and go from, you know, a very average player to a star this year. Like that's some sort of automatic 70-point
season
expansion
from Jared McCann.
There was a lot of like, hey, you, when you're an expansion team, you get one breakout star, you get, you know, a player from each team. And it's like, no, there's no guarantees that these guys with more of a, you know, more role or whatever are going to become Riley Smith.
It's a fundamentally different set of circumstances. And part of that is because GM smartened up and weren't willing to do, there was no Dale Talon in the room this year. Like there was no Riley Smith and Jonathan Marchessault situation to be had. But then you throw in the fact that they really do seem to have overplayed their hand on setting values on trades and sticking to it, to the point where, you know, what were they looking for exactly from Mark Giordano, right? Like to not take Mark Giordano, right? Like,
right.
They got left holding the bag on that, and it happened a few different times. So you have a worse roster and you don't have the war chest of first, second, and thirds that GMs, you know, gave away out of fear. So it's going to be tougher sledding for them than Vegas. And that's fine. Like that's not the way it should work for an expansion team. You shouldn't have a ready, ready-made cup contender on day one. Right. So I don't know. The expectations were maybe a little unrealistic. I don't think anybody was expecting them to be some super dynamic offensive team, but at the same time there's some early issues there.
Well, it was a good run. It was fun while it lasted, the Seattle Kraken. And you know, now here's their saving grace, because we'll stick in the Pacific.
That division sucks.
That division currently in second place, your Anaheim Ducks. I mean, we're really early, obviously, but you know, Vegas is now banged up.
RIP to our officepools.com fantasy team already. We're already up the creek. We had Pacioretty and Stone, and they're both hurt.
At least we didn't have Kucherov. I guess that's the well, he's silver lining there.
He's not hurt though, so it doesn't count.
Like Vancouver, I guess maybe is the team I know we're not allowed to talk to them. I think of them because they just came through town, but I think they're probably not that good. So Edmonton, I guess, is the, you know, Vegas is obviously the best team, but if they're going to be banged up, this might be the only thing that keeps Seattle around, I guess is what I'm saying, is the division's awful.
Totally. Like who's behind them? San Jose, LA.
Yeah.
The already warmed over corpse of the Vegas Golden Knights in Calgary, who has dominated their first two games, but can't, their power play sucks and their finishing ability sucks as a team. It's the same story as it was last year for them. So you have a lot of flawed teams behind them. We're obviously just screwing around here. Like there's more than enough time for them to turn it around, but it'll be interesting. I will say a funny byproduct of all this, of their home opener being as late as it is, and we still have whatever, a week and a half, I guess, but before it happens, right? Like, where are they going to, like, are they going to be, what, you know, 1-4? Like by the time that happens, or like that would be a bummer. And I know there's not much that can throw a damper on like the vibe in Seattle for that team is real. I was there last month, and people are legitimately excited about it. But if they get off to a flat start and don't play any of these games in front of their actual home fans, it would be a bummer to see them come into the home opener limping. I sincerely hope that doesn't happen.
No, because you also want it to work. Like, you know, Vegas is a huge success, but a big part of that is they were good. So fans were excited. Like you only get so long of being a bad expansion team before fans stop caring. I lived it in Atlanta. Like, they, you know, there's excitement and then there's apathy. And if you don't get good at some point, then you move to Winnipeg. I think that's in the NHL bylaws.
Not going to be bad. I'm still comfortable saying that.
Okay.
There's too much talent. I don't think Grubauer is going to, you know, look like the guy who was a backup in Washington for a few years for over the course of an entire season. There's talented players there. It's just a little bit of a dud of a start. Because Philly's not any good. They get boat raced by them last night. And we're in the sample size is still small enough where you can look at that sort of stuff and be like, I don't know. But no, they'll be. I sincerely do think they'll be fine. But it is. There's some issues there.
Some issues. So before we get to Jack, let's stay in that division for 1 second and talk San Jose. Yeah. A couple of things comes out. Evander Kane gets 21 game suspension. I gotta say. Having never covered a fake vaccine card attempt, mm-hmm. I didn't know what was coming there. No idea what was like. You know, then he's got everything else surrounding him, and on top of that, you know,
he broke a. It's a federal law, right? That's a,
so. Is 21 light? How do we? What other federal laws can you break and only get 21 games?
My fun question. NHL's vaccination rate is wonderful, right? Four players are unvaccinated. We're at 99%. How many other guys in the league are going to Evander Kane's card plug?
Well, I'm not going to that guy.
Obviously.
Like, he got caught.
He got a bad, he's gotta be he got a better a bad option. Batch number. I want to know the mechanics of this. Like, I want to know if he had an actual – the cards we all have – like, did he just buy mm-hmm. one and write in just a bunch of serial numbers and just and fake it that way? Like, I want to know what the investigation process was like. Because if you had a real batch number, you know, I want to know how he got busted. I don't know if that's something any of us are going to be able to find out. But the
get on it, Kersey.
The specifics of this are.
I want every detail about how honest, where it went wrong for Evander on the card.
Anytime I had multiple friends text me yesterday who were. You know, they're not in the game. They're not, you know, huge NHL fans. They're like, what the hell's going on? Like he had a fake card. I'm like, yeah, that's what it sounds like, you know, but 21 games. Yeah. It's a quarter of a season. I don't know that I didn't come into that with any expectations. Like you said, we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know what the going rate for a vaccine card forgery is, but 21's no joke.
No. Did you have a fake ID? I'm wondering about the mechanics of your fake ID.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have like a fake name that was your picture?
No. I found a kid's driver's license who was
who
had just turned 21 and I was like 18 when it happened. And he looked enough like me for it to work. Like he was shorter than me and had blue eyes. But other than that, it was like it was fine. His name's Greg Berg. He lived on Pacific Avenue and
Forest Hills. Like Greg Bird is out there.
This is no joke.
No idea.
He lived by my grandparents. I knew exactly where his house was. I would drive past his house whenever I went to see my grandparents. I had this kid's ID, fake ID for 3 years. And
yeah.
I Googled him recently. He is now a doctor.
Oh, the good it's doctor,
him.
Greg.
And it's seriously him. Gregory Berg. He's like a you know, a pediatric, you know. Internist or something. An internist.
Does he do fake vaccine cards?
Maybe that's it. Dr. Berg, what did you know and when did you know it?
my buddy had a scanner and was doing something like weird, you know, doing some Photoshop work mm-hmm.
Photoshop 1.0? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was really
you're making these in paint, MS Paint.
So my buddy does his and he does he grabs a random picture of himself with a hat on, which I don't think you're even allowed to do
with
the
Michigan
Secretary of State. I think you have to take your hat off. And he had red eye. Like, you know, cameras, if it's a flash, it has red eye. So we go on spring break and
yeah, cause he,
you know, we're trying to get
he took a photo with a wind up disposable camera that you buy in Walgreens.
Big square flash in the time that's like turns every time you take a picture. And I remember we were going into Panama City, Florida and trying to get in. And the guy just looked, he's like,
what are you doing,
why
man?
Do you have red eye in your, the guy's like, the kid was like, I don't know.
It's a medical condition. Please don't ask me anymore about it.
And then he just handed it back. And
yeah, let
him in.
Having an actual legit fake ID was like, or not even fake ID, like a real ID that scanned and stuff. I mean, I was golden. I had friends who had, you know, we would walk into bars on the south side here in Pittsburgh, and there'd be seven dudes, and six of them had Texas IDs because that was the template that we used to make the fakes. I mean, it was classic stuff. But I was golden. So shout out to Greg Bird.
Greg Bird. All right. Last thing on this, Erik Karlsson.
Yeah.
Kersey's been, like I said, a run of good stories. Erik Karlsson's still saying he's one of the best players in the world.
Yeah, the thing that Kers put out today, too, specifically about Evander Kane, is a nice look inside the vibes in the locker room right now. They're good, and part of it's probably because Evander Kane isn't around. Hmm. But yeah, the Karlsson story, that's what you're bringing up. It's tough to keep track of Kurtis. He's having a good couple weeks.
Like Karlsson. I mean, I guess what else is Erik Karlsson going to say? Like I'm toast.
Done.
But 11.5 million per season through. My goodness, I'm on cap friendly, and it's one of those red arrow contracts that doesn't even get it's off the page till the end of time. That contract goes. Sign. I mean, that's the other thing. Evander Kane's I feel bad for the Sharks. Like, clearly you had a GM and Doug Wilson here trying to, you know, desperately, and I don't mean that in a negative sense, to keep that Stanley Cup window going for a long stretch. And they certainly had it going for a long stretch, but, you know, bills are coming in now, and there's not an end in sight. Holy cow. Can they get any value out of Karlsson? Do we think at 31 years old?
I mean, you just have to play him on that team and hope that he produces. No, that contract's untouchable. Untouchable.
Mm-hmm.
How good he'd have to be, not, you know, Erik Karlsson 2015 level good to make it worth it. But that deal's not movable.
It wasn't like the Sharks were the only team in on Erik Karlsson. Have we ever seen something go sideways so fast with a? Like, he was Mark Stone the year before, so it was like that worked out great for Vegas. Like, if you look back, like, people were – the Erik Karlsson sweepstakes were a huge thing. And, you know, it was Steve Yzerman. What if Tampa gets Erik Karlsson? Like, that was a real thing that was – they were trying to make happen in Tampa.
He's still only 31. He turned 31 at the end of the season. Like, the hope has to be that – he also, I think there are some reasons for optimism with the way he played last year at times. Like, I think there's some underlying stuff there that's positive with him. But, like, if he's good, it's going to be for San Jose. Because God knows nobody's trading. You're going to trade for $11.5 million Erik Karlsson, who's signed through, you know, 2011 or whatever. Like, you're gonna trade for him in a flat cap for the next however many years? That's a flat no across the board. So they better hope he's good, because that's their only option right now.
Good news is William Eklund looks like he's...
I was just about to bring him up.
Your boy, your favorite player from the draft, if I remember correctly.
It was
based on one of the multiple viewings.
One of the best 90-second YouTube clips that I saw in my draft prep. I was like, oh, this guy's good. Slides.
You were a big
slides of the Sharks. Well, because the other guys loved him, right? Wheeler was all in on him. That's good enough for me. So, you know, that's found money for them. They had a player drop to them that I don't think they were necessarily anticipating. And the reports on him are good. Kurz wrote about him. You know, Jasper Weatherby is a decent young player. They have Jonathan Dahlin. Like, they have, you know, there's at least a couple players there to hold attention. But, man, it's gonna get dark early there, I think.
I think a fun story, because we're all drawing this conclusion that's just going to be bad for a while in San Jose, and I think rightfully so. A fun story for Kurz to do is what is a path out? Like, what has to happen to get out of this in the next, like, couple years? Like, is it a hurdle trade plus a lottery bounce? I don't know. Like, what is this? Because we've never, like, I don't know. What, if everything goes right for the Sharks, what does that look like?
Their cap friendly page is a bad dream.
Mm.
Couture through 2027. That's the least of their problems. But, you know, for other teams, that would be huge red flag. And he's he's what, their fourth worst contract or fifth worst, you know?
Yeah.
Karlsson with a red arrow. Mark Edward Vlasic is signed through 2026 for $7 million a year. You have the Kane catastrophe, and he's, God, when does his deal end up? I can't even remember. How long is he on the books for? Because they already have to be thinking about, like, What's the way out there with him specifically?
Yeah, yeah. He's through 24, 25, 7 million a year through 24, 25.
I don't know that there is one. You have 15, 26, 34, $41 million dedicated to Logan Couture, Evander Kane, Erik Karlsson, Brent Burns, Mark Edward Vlasic. Mm. Like, not good.
No.
Enjoy William Eklund, though. He seems very fun.
He seems good. Seems like a good player. All right. Sorry, San Jose Sharks. Yeah. Like, I really negative with Seattle and Sharks fans. Stay with us, fans. We love you guys. We'll make it up to you at some point in this podcast in a few years.
Yeah, enjoy the Jack Hughes interview, I guess. Hope you like him. He's got book like racks, everybody. Hughes. Yeah.
He does. And he's a go-to meal. So
let's jump in. I have reason to be skeptical of that, by the way. We'll see how that works.
You're calling Jack Hughes a liar.
I need the answer from Quinn. He alluded to us asking Quinn about his go-to meal. I'm gonna have to hear from a second source on this one.
All right, let's take a break and have a word from our sponsors. Some people say this is the best part of the podcast.
it shouldn't be.
We'll be right back with Jack Hughes.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We are now thrilled to be joined by Jack Hughes, who is, of course, we don't want to jump to any conclusions one game in, but we've been saying breakout on this podcast for weeks around Jack Hughes, and of course, he delivers right away. Jack, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're good. We're good. So I think we wanted to start first and foremost with the flip of the stick into the stands, Sean. Like that when Jeff said you were coming on, Sean was like, "Hey, we got to talk that."
That's so it, man. We need 15 minutes.
We really want 15 minutes on that, and we'll call around.
Stick toss talk, and then we can just get you out of here. It'll be fine.
I don't even know how it went down. Like, it was all kind of like a reactionary thing. Like, it wasn't like, I don't know. It was weird. Like, it was pretty sick though. Like, obviously, looking at it now, it's a crazy story, that's for sure.
Was it okay? So it wasn't premeditated.
No, it definitely like, wasn't okay. Planned. Like, it's definitely not something like, obviously I scored in the second period. Like, I couldn't do it there. You know, it's not like a in game thing. It's like it has to be overtime only. So, like, I definitely wasn't planning it. But yeah, obviously the fans loved it. It's pretty wild.
Have you touched base with whoever caught it? there was a fight in the stands, dude.
I don't know. There's like, remember seeing the video? It's like, because it's not like a baseball where like they hit a homer and like one person catches it, or like a football. It's like a whole hockey stick. Like 10 people could catch it, you know. So
it's break it apart and divide it up between the row.
Yeah, there's probably a wrestling match in the stands. So I don't know who ended up getting it, but it's pretty funny.
Yeah, how do you settle that? It's like one of those competitions where, like, the last person to stop touching the car gets the car or whatever. Like, it's got to be whoever just wills their way to having the stick.
At that point. It's just a lot of will, and I don't even know. It's just like battle. It's all will. It's will and grit in that scenario. So.
You're getting sticks in deep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy.
So that's like the bat flip to me. Like, that's the game. Like, that's the walk off. That's the only thing I want to see out of a hockey player after an overtime goal from now on. That's it.
Is that the new standard?
It's the new standard. For you, it is. You have to do every overtime goal you score for the rest of the career of your career. You got to do that. And I hope you realize that you set the standard.
We'll see on that. We'll see.
And like the what I loved with this is the speed of it. Like it's got to be like the goal is scored and the stick is in the stands. Within it's got to be like it's 5 seconds or less. Yeah, it can't be like when you come out for the stars or whatever. So, Jack, one of the things you said after the game, I was looking, and you said something along the lines of, like, the last time Chicago saw me, I was 18. And, you know, now you're obviously 20. A lot has changed on a lot of levels since then. But where do you think you've changed the most from 18 to 20?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a pretty important quote, you know, not just for me, but for a lot of guys in the league. You know, I haven't seen three quarters of the league in almost 2 years now. So, you know, like it's just different. You know, I'm a completely different player, completely different person from the last time I've played Chicago, and it's going to be like that for a lot of the teams. So it'll be fun, and I'm sure a lot of guys will catch teams by surprise just because there's no like reads recently or anything like that. So, but it's also extremely exciting, you know, like for me to play Kaner again, that's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. You know, a guy I haven't played in 2 years, you know, be fun to actually travel this year and go to LA, get some nice warm weather, things like that. It's people don't really read into that stuff.
No, you had a lot of great time spent in, you know, Long Island and Pittsburgh and Philly and whatever last year. Yeah, that was how you spent February or whatever. So yeah, you get to change it up.
Is there a team you're looking forward most to seeing that you haven't seen in a while?
The obvious answer would be Vancouver, mm-hmm. like to play sure. them. But I think my team I want to play the most is Anaheim. You know, I'm pretty fired up to play Z, so I think it'll be hilarious when I'm taking a face off versus him. So I'm pretty pumped to play them.
I can't imagine why you'd want to play in Vancouver. I don't know what's waiting over there for you. No,
that'll be good, but I'm really excited to play Anaheim coming up, so that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, he's I mean, what a player. I feel bad because I don't have a great feel for that team. Like at least with the Devils, I can sit there and go that they're on the upswing and you can see what you're all doing. And now you add Dougie into the mix and there's a lot of juice there. And Anaheim, I feel like a little bit is spinning their wheels, but I did want to like get your thoughts on a couple big additions. What are your first impressions of Dougie? How's that gone for you?
Yeah. I mean, we're one game in, so it's nothing crazy, but I think he played 20 minutes. Seconds in, so he's a guy that just, you know, we paid him $9 million and he's probably worth more than that, and you know, he brings so much to our team. We have a clear-cut number one defenseman, you know, a guy that can really carry the load, and you know, him and Gravy had a great first game together, and we expect more of that this year.
He's worth more than nine, eh?
I think that's a big statement. You know, he had a great first game, so we're really excited he's here.
We were also talking contract. You mentioned Quinn briefly, and he gets that, you know, monster deal, 6x7.85. Have you noticed any difference in him now that he's loaded?
Like, is there any big shot now? Big time.
Yeah. I haven't seen him. You know.
Yeah.
So it's not like he signed in summer and then like he went bananas while I was there. Like that wasn't the case. So I don't know. It's obviously. It's crazy.
When do you guys head out there? When's that trip? Do you know? You got circled. It's coming up there, right?
No, I think we're in December, but we're not there. Like I think we're on a back to back. Like we play Calgary and then we play Vancouver the next night. So it's not much of a trip. I think it's in December, maybe November, but I don't know.
Did you talk him through any of that stuff, the contract stuff? Like, was there any like conversations with you and him about what that should look like?
Yeah, a bit, but nothing crazy, you know, like neither one of us have been through that before. Neither of us have seen money like that our whole life ever, you know? So at the end of the day, anytime you can pocket, that money and, you know, you're setting yourself up and, you know, to play hockey, it's pretty special. So, our whole family was very excited for him.
Yeah, I would be. Yeah, that's a pretty good deal.
He's locked in for a long time. I mean, you're next. Like you're about to go through that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot more work to do than he did. two pretty good years heading into his contract year. So, you know, you could talk about it, but, you know, I have a lot of work to do this year, and then, you know, it'll come.
Do you get have you gotten tired of hearing about how you're like, this is your breakout year? Cause you're number one on everybody's list. Like who's going to pop this year? And everyone acts like they're, you know, like coming up with some surprise answer, like, yeah, Jack's gonna pop this year. Are you tired,
Sean? I'm right here.
I'm tired of Craig specifically talking about it. But no, is that weird to hear for you?
I mean, it just means people have been waiting for a long time. Kind of year three. But, you know, I see it. I get it. Like, I obviously went first overall. Like, you know, guys come in and are unbelievable their first few years, but at the same time, like I'm heading into my like 119th game coming up on Tuesday. And I'm only 20 years old. So at the end of the day, I'm gonna have a crazy long career with a lot of good games, a lot of bad games, but, you know, I've put the work in. I know last year I had a really strong year, and, I just got to keep the train rolling this year.
Was last season frustrating for you? Because there was you were doing so much so well. Like your underlying numbers were great. Watching you play, you look different. And for whatever reason, pucks weren't going in, right? The finishing
posts,
right? Like that had to be when everything else like lined up except for the actual results there. Was that a tough thing to go through?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously I can make a case. I could have had way, way more points last year, you know, you know, I had a solid year still, but it wasn't a breakout year, and it easily could have been a breakout year. You know, it could have been 15 more points to it easily, but it is what it is. And, you know, we're building something here. And for myself, I think I'm taking good steps forward and becoming the player they want me to become here.
I saw Larry Brooks' story, who he was one game in penciling you for the U.S. Olympic team, which I appreciated. We all want to slot you in there. How much, I mean, I think that's not an easy roster to make, and you see the strength down the middle there. How much is that is in the back of your head this season?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be lying to you if I said it's not in the back. Like, of course, I'm an American. I grew up loving USA Hockey. I played with USA Hockey all through the ranks, like, you know, the Olympics is the premier step, you know, so of course I want to be on that team, but, you know, I have work to do, and it's an uphill climb, and it's going to be a hard team to make, but, you know, whether I make it or not, I'm going to have a chance at 24, 28, 32. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I got a lot of years.
32, come on. 32.
I got a lot of time, but
36, 40.
I got some work to do here, but, you know, I'm more focused on the Devils and seeing how that goes, and then we'll see where it goes.
Do you hear from the brain trust at all, like Billy Guerin or Stan Bowman? Do they say, hey, you know, we got an eye on you or anything like that? Has there been any of that communication?
Not really. I mean, I'm sure I'm in the mix. But everyone's busy, man. You know, it's like great. Everyone's focused on Olympics. Yeah. But at the same time, all these people, all these players, management, they all have to worry about their own teams, you know, so. I think focuses will shift more throughout the season, but, you know, right now we've played one game. I'm focused on the Devils, and, you know, I'm sure the GMs are focused on their own teams, and the rest of the players are focused on helping their own teams.
You see us doing work here. We're trying to get you a contract extension one game in, puts you on the Olympic team.
Yeah,
we're doing some work over here. So to wrap up,
it's going to be a very productive 15 minutes for you, Jack.
Yeah, life's easy on the podcast.
Right? It's so easy. So easy, Jack. Oh, my gosh. To wrap up, I sent Matt Williams a text. I said, you're coming on. And I said, any questions you want to plant? And he said two things. You're a good cook, or you're into cooking. I don't know. I forgot how he phrased it. Are you into cooking, or are you a good cook? I guess there's a difference there.
I would give myself, I'm okay, I'm good. actually, like, me and Quinn got a place this summer, so we were cooking big time, like cooking for our buddies and stuff. I think I cooked Maddie a few meals, so you got to, but I like it. It kills time. Like, it's better than sitting like on the couch on my phone doing nothing, you know. So I'm not like a premier chef or anything, but I like the cooking.
All you got to do is just get like a couple things that you do well, and then you're fine. Yep. You get like some sort of go-to dish. Do you have that yet?
I got a go-to dish right now. If you ever get Quinn on the podcast, he knows the go-to dish.
Come on. That's good.
That's great. That's a tease, baby.
Yeah, we have he kind of taught me a go-to dish, so it's good.
That's good. I made a chicken marsala yesterday, and you only use a little bit of marsala wine, and I drank almost the rest of the bottle, and it's terrible marsala wine. I think it's meant for cooking.
You're not supposed to drink cooking wine.
Well, I discovered that after the fact. But once you're on a roll while you're cooking and you have it just kept on going. And the other thing Maddie said was reading. He said you were asking for book recs, so we're looking for book recs. We're big readers.
Yeah, you guys got any? I don't know. I like reading. It's the same thing. It's everything on my phone, social media, or things like that. So, and I don't know. I never went to college, so it's got to get smarter somehow. So I think that's pretty important.
What's your go-to? Are you a fiction guy? Or are you a fiction guy? Or are you like a self-improvement guy? Like, what do you find yourself gravitating towards? I'll give you.
I like a lot of sports books. Mm-hmm. I think my favorite books I've read were 11 Rings, Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
It's a really good book. It's just like pretty like about life and how you see life. And then Green Lights from Matthew McConaughey is pretty good too. So those are two books I've read recently that are great.
Good sports book, Playing Through the Whistle. It's a book about high school football, like in Southwest PA. S.L. Price wrote it. He's a Sports Illustrated guy. It's the best sports book I've read in the last few years. Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. What's it called?
Playing Through the Whistle.
Playing Through the Whistle. Yep. Nice.
That's a good rec. I just got this one. This the Baseball 100, the Joe Poznanski book.
Yeah, I like it. I like reading. I think it's important.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of downtime too on the road, so it's good stuff.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, Jack, we appreciate the time. I know you got a ton going on. So one game, we're ready to call it. It's a great year for you. And we'll see you when you come through town, but appreciate you doing this.
All right, boys. Good stuff. We'll see ya.
That was great with Jack. No surprise. I mean, anytime you have the parents on and they're great, the interview with the kids are always going
to
be great.
Shout out to the guy who was like, hey, yesterday on Twitter, who was like, hey, are you guys going to talk about Jack Hughes? Because they ignored it on the Monday show hosted by, who are the Monday hosts?
Hard to say.
Who knows?
I don't know.
Who can say?
That was a great call. I honestly, it was like we were being teed up. Well, I will definitely send a link out.
That was my burner busting me.
Yeah. So we promise the Jack Hughes, we'll keep it going. We will be flying the Jack Hughes flag because he's a great player, fun star, Olympic captain. What'd he say to the 2038 team?
Well, because he's like, yeah, I could do it. I'm 20 or 24 or 38 or 32. Like, I have 36. Like, go for it. It's not impossible. That's what happens when you're this caliber of player and you're 20 years old already in an Olympic season, too. Like, it's lining up perfectly for him because a lot of guys, because of whatever, whether it's what happened in the last Olympics or whatever, like injuries, Stamkos situation, like what have you. Like some guys don't get to do it by, you know, through bad luck until they're 29 or 33 or whatever. Not going
to
be the case.
Imagine being like 20 years old and just you're about to take on the world. Like it's going to be a fun stretch here for him. All right, let's take another quick break and then we've got a few thoughts to wrap up.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Didn't want to let the week go by, Craig, without mentioning Jimmy Hayes. We got some really, really sad news about, oh boy, former Bruins winger, Dorchester legend, Boston, you know, college national champion. Toxicology reports came back. He died on August 23rd. They found fentanyl and cocaine in his system. There's no good way to frame this or spin it other than to say that it's just a worst case scenario tragedy. And this isn't going to be the only space that we talk about the issues that this brings up, right? Like we want to be thoughtful about it and give it its just due. We have some plans for shows moving forward, but we also don't want to wallpaper over it and ignore it because that would be disingenuous. You read what his dad and his wife told Dan Shaughnessy in the Boston Globe. You know, it was a problem that cropped up a year and a half ago, and they thought he had it licked, and that's not the way it worked out. It's something I've seen in my own life. I think it's something that's affected a lot of people, and you know, it's a conversation that it never gets any easier, and never stops being really sad. So, you know, condolences to the family. And you know, again, we don't want to pay it lip service, and don't want to give it the space it deserves, and that's all going to happen. But we also didn't want to let a week pass without mentioning it, because it's a really sad story.
It's really sad, and you know, I'm in Detroit, where firsthand we've seen, you know, Ken Daniels' work with his son's foundation, the Jamie Daniels Foundation, and you know, same problem, raising awareness, and I've had a lot of conversations with Kenny through the years about it, and it's heartbreaking, and you know, there's nothing good about it, and I would definitely, if you're sitting there going, boy, I want to help or I want to learn more, I would go to the JamieDanielsFoundation.org, check out what Ken's doing there and raising awareness, make a donation. I know Prashant Iyer is doing a fun thing on Twitter, if you want to, like,
yeah,
you know, the kind of thing where if you want to do a buck per Dylan Larkin goals, it goes to the Jamie Daniels Foundation. Sean, we should definitely think of something on behalf of the pod, like, to get behind what Prashanth is doing, because it's a great cause. It hits everybody. And
yeah, and if there's good that comes out of it, and I think you know, Kevin Hayes Sr. was really touching and well said in the story that ran on the Globe. I mean, an important thing to remember with this, and this is something that I didn't really, an understanding that I didn't really come to, I don't even think until recently, is how easy it is for this to happen. Like, this was a relatively late in life thing for Jimmy Hayes, where it was after his career is when the problems really started. And it's easy for stuff to snowball, right? Where it was like Kevin Hayes saw something wrong a year and a half ago. Like, this wasn't a lifelong thing. This wasn't right. Something he struggled with for, you know, starting as a teenager. Like, it's way too easy for the claws to get stuck in people. And with fentanyl, it's like, that's it. You get a bad batch. It can happen to anybody making a one-time bad decision, or whether you have actual pre-existing addiction issues. It is way too easy for that to happen. So yeah, just really sad stuff. But if there's a bright side, it's that, you know, Kevin Hayes and the family are speaking out and trying to do their part in it. And also there's some other spaces in hockey that are, you know, making themselves known here too. So we gotta keep that in mind and just, you know, make it a discussion point moving forward. This isn't a one day thing. This isn't just five minutes tacked on at the end of a podcast. It can't be that for anybody.
All right. Well, we'll figure out if you have thoughts on what we should donate or something just to keep us talking about it, with what Prashanth is doing, I'm in. Put it in the comments of our podcast episode. That's where we love to interact with you.
That'll be a good thing to track. That and the performance of our abysmal fantasy hockey team since everybody's heard.
We're already done with that. Like, that team's toast. It went worse than I expected.
I'm just glad we don't have to set lineups. we would already be in that mode where it's like, oh god, okay.
Did you lineup in this week?
No.
Yeah, so put that in the comments. I do like going in, and so to wrap up, let's interact with our listeners.
Hold on a second, buddy. What? You had something you want to say about it.
Ilya Kovalchuk. Oh, I do. So I hope you all saw that Ilya Kovalchuk is now, he's running the national team for the Russians going into the Olympics. And first of all, on a scale of 1 to 10, how old did that make you feel? Like, Ilya Kovalchuk to me is still like this young player who's trying to make his way into the league.
It's Michael Therrien calling him Kovachu after that's who he still is for me.
His evolution now to, you know, management, I can't even wrap my head around.
He was trying to hook on with a team on October 11th. I found an interview that was published in Russia where he was like, I'm staying in shape. I'm hoping to play. I'm looking to do my thing. That was 8 days ago. And now he's, you know, does he put himself on the team?
That's what we have to consider that. Nobody. So Ilya, one of the things I hope people realize is this guy loved the game and loved scoring. If you ever watch highlights of him scoring, like just the pure joy of that accomplishment. And so I'm not surprised that he's just trying to find any way to get, you know, still get that. I just, you know, as somebody, I covered him starting, you know, when I broke into the hockey world. He was the young star of the Atlanta Thrashers. And, you know, tracing the huge trade rumors and all that stuff going to the Devils and Lou, like, basically getting what Lou wants.
That was seriously one of the first big stories I remember working with you on at Sporting News was the Kovalchuk trade. Yep.
Yeah, it took a whole summer. Like, any of us who were covering it on a day-to-day basis lost a summer. It was like
It was 2011. I remember where I was whenever it finally went down. Yeah,
at like 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. It was one of those all nights, and like, who was still on Twitter? It was actually at a fun time in Twitter, right? Mm-hmm. Where hockey Twitter was like 11 people. It was like me, you, and you know,
Wyshynski or whatever,
or whoever. And, you know, so this is one of those moments, and I'm sure everyone's had those if you're in your 40s like me or your 30s where you're like, oh, like, I'm getting old because this person who I thought was a young player is now running a team.
Endless march toward that. We just did it with the Sharks. Jeff said it during the break. Like, Mark-Edward Vlasic is 34 years old. Like, what is going on?
But on behalf of, you know, Thrashers Nation, if we're going to adopt a second team besides the Americans, it should be the Russians.
We're on a really good stretch of getting Thrash references in each week. Episode. Like, I think we're doing a pretty good job of that. But yeah, Kovalchuk, man, that the run he went on when the Devils made the finals that year, I know we kind of talked to Travis Ajak about it a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Like, his play in that stretch, just what a complete. What a beast. That was him in full. He did so much for that team. The minutes he played, like, just an unbelievable player. Also didn't get credit for just being a complete player, I think, in that phase of his career. Like, people see the goals and they see, you know, the numbers that he threw up, you know, early on in Atlanta. That dude did a lot. So, yeah. I mean, if this seems like it's finally it for him, but yeah, it's whatever.
Meanwhile, Jágr had, I think, 3 points the other day. If you want to feel better about yourself, and maybe we're not that old, Jágr's out there still running.
I'll set it, man. No one's old until Jágr's done. I think the day's coming here. But until the Penguins retire Jaromir Jágr's jersey, I'm still a young man.
That's good. I can confirm that. All right. So let's dive into the comments. So if you have the Athletic app on your phone, you can leave comments on our specific episodes, and it's now become a fun place for us to interact. So I think you have to subscribe. So if you go to theathletic.com/something, what's our promo to get some subs here?
That's Sean's going to look that up.
That's a great question, Craig. What is the promo?
If you want a promo and you want to subscribe,
theathletic.com/hockeyshow, 50% off if you visit there today.
Yeah, so go to that if you're not subscribed. And so that way we can get some questions in here and interact. And we had a bunch on the last episode. And these are fun because I don't always see them until we're reading them. but I'm going to skip a few.
Yeah, clearly. Wait a second. Clearly true, because you started reading the ones last week where people were pissed at us. Wait a second. We got two mad people. Get ready. It's not all chuckles and fun.
Barak N says, Pierre's Jukebox is my new fantasy team name, in reference to, was this a question last week where someone was like, describe Pierre LeBrun's cottage?
Describe the cottage, yeah. Just that he's got a jukebox that he doesn't have to pay for. Just notoriously, like, I can see his stance right now, right? He's got the wide stance, like blocking out on the jukebox, putting in $100 and playing only Tragically Hip, yeah.
My favorite thing, and the beauty of this is we can talk about Pierre all we want in this section because there's no chance he's listening.
Never.
My favorite thing would be Pierre would put his $100 in, put all his, like, you know, 80s hair band, Guns N' Roses, slash Tragically Hip.
Like hair metal bands. Right. Seriously. Yeah. I remember he played Mr. Rainmaker one time at the bar. Yeah.
Yeah. So he'll take that over, and then you would have people, you know, in the later advent of jukeboxes where you could overrule it if you wanted to pay a few extra dollars, then it became a battle that Pierre wouldn't lose because Pierre has more money than God. And he took it personally, we'd be sitting there and it'd be like, you know, Paradise City would end and then, you know, Johnny Cash or I don't know, some random like country song would come on and he, you know, you might as well have been like the old West and the record screeching and like Pierre would like kind of look up and kind of tilt his head like a confused golden retriever and then be like furious.
Where's my rat songs?
Yeah, he's like, Winger, this isn't Winger. I did not put in Garth Brooks. Mm-hmm. So and then he would, of course, then he would just overrule it and then try to find the person and then we'd get in fights. Good times. So Pierre's Jukebox is a fantastic name for a fantasy team. How excited do you guys get when you see that Manscaped has sponsored the podcast, Sean?
We lost them for a couple weeks there. It was dark times. Dark times in my apartment, my friend. It's all I have for is Manscaped ad reads.
Do you think, honest question, do you think either A, they know we do it or they like it or dislike it? Like, is there somebody at Manscaped HQ going, hey, have you guys listened to these two jokers see what our ad reads?
This jerk. No, I have reason to believe that they're on board with the bit here. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We don't know. Shane C asks, so when can we get a 2-versus-2 winner takes all showdown between you two, Sean and I, versus Ian and Haley in a street hockey match?
Never.
I would say never. We would get our clocks cleaned, I would assume, in this scenario.
The enforcer, Haley Salvian.
Yeah, I think.
She's going to play dirty.
If we were playing, like, street football, I would like our chances.
This is, like, I love, like, us alluding to, like, each week we have some allusion where it's like, oh, we didn't really play hockey growing up.
No. No.
Yeah.
Jimmy L. says, the people want a women's hockey focus day for the Athletic Hockey Show. I agree. I think absolutely. That's a great idea. We've already said we're going to adopt the U.S. women's national team naturally when we have to, and we'll get some guests on. But I agree, that's a good call out from Jimmy.
That's definitely a spot where we can get some great guests, right? Because we're dilettantes when it comes to women hockey for the most part. There's people who can speak to it 100 times better than them. So we'll get some of them lined up so you can get some actual meaningful contributions on WOHO, not from two guys who are making educated guesses.
Thomas M says, please open another Manscaped. Please open every show with Sean's Manscaped ad read. I was rolling. That's good. There needs to be a greatest hits at some point. I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully it's not when one of us dies, like Norm MacDonald. What was that ad read when he died? The grill. It was the funniest thing. It's as hard as I've laughed.
Well, it's the same vibe as Manscaped, right? Where it's like manly barbecue. Like, all right, fellas. the green eggs for girls. It was a grill plate or something. It was a grill plate. It was like an addition.
Like revolutionary. And then he was like, one of the guests was like, what makes it revolutionary? It cooks steaks and chicken. He's like, that's not revolutionary.
It trims your pubic hair.
Thomas M. also says, T-Max Squared would like to challenge Pierre on his home turf. Mm. Our bar had that shuffle league every Thursday. Sadly, we're talking shuffleboard. I should have read the first part of it. So we if you didn't listen last week, Pierre has a great shuffleboard table in its basement of his cottage. Again, we gave the address if you want to go find it.
Triangulate the location of Pierre LeBrun. We've dropped hints throughout the podcast. You will be able to find him.
If you had all the numbers we referenced in the cap friendly portion of the Sharks, that was all. That was a latitude and longitude. So Thomas asks, T-Max Squared would like to challenge Pierre on his home turf. Our bar had that shuffle league every Thursday. Sadly, the bar did not survive the pandemic. Oh. Rest in peace, the Herkimer. So shout out to any bar that had a shuffleboard table and didn't survive. That's
terrible. Played some bar shuffleboard when I was in when I was in Chicago a couple weeks ago.
How'd you do?
Thought of all the. I believe it was a 5-game series, and I think we won. I think we won. It was this bar like off the beaten path, like kind of in Wrigleyville, like up by the field, and I forget the name of this place, but no, it was fun. It wasn't quite on par with that place in what's it called in Tampa, which is like shuffleboard ground zero. But yeah, it was a good time.
Thomas asked that we shout out the Thursday League at the Herc on Lake Street in Minneapolis. So here it is. So rest in peace to the Herkimer. The Herc and Lake Street.
Love the Herc.
Huge fans. I want a t-shirt. Thomas, if you can just send me a link, I would wear a t-shirt on the next recording.
Especially since we're going to, I don't know if it's going to work out with this episode necessarily, but we're going to have like video clips. So we need to start dressing the part.
We need to start dressing. Yeah, that's true. So we also take some, if you have any suggestions on t-shirts we should be wearing that only people that put comments in our thing would get, you know, like Pierre's jukebox.
We will take t-shirt recommendations if you subscribe and put them in the...
That's the only way. Don't do it on Twitter. I don't want any free ones.
No.
Bill, and to wrap it up, Bill in all caps says, who cares? This isn't real. Does he mean like...
CFL, baby.
The Matrix? Oh.
CHL. I had to think about that too.
I thought he meant reality life. As we know it. Yeah.
I'm ready for the new Matrix movie. I'm all in on that.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. The trailer's good. I'm ready for it.
Oh my gosh.
Are you a Bond guy?
No, I'm not. Should I be?
Sort of 50-50. I think there's been two Daniel Craig movies I've really liked and two I haven't. Maybe I do that this week. Supposedly.
All right.
New one's supposedly Daniel good. Craig.
Like, I didn't get to really know him until Knives Out and was like, oh, this guy's amazing. I'm a big fan.
Really? Watch Layer Cake.
Okay.
It's probably on streaming. That's like the movie that got him the Bond part, like, fit the, you know, 20 years ago or whatever.
Okay. That's good to know. That's a good rec. Just like your book rec to Jack Hughes. Rob Pizzo from CBC Sports and Jesse Granger and Sarah Sivian have the Athletic Hockey Show Wednesday.
Yeah. How about that?
We got a new week. Sivs and Jesse. And peas, great. I'm just going to shorten names for the rest of this. Yeah, well, I mean, we don't have time to say full last names.
True hockey man.
Joel Eriksson Ek, or Ek as I like to call him, is Mike Russo. Is that how you say it?
Yes, that is. Confirmed.
Guest on this week's edition of Straight from the Source. I'm not familiar with that. Mm-hmm. And that's a wrap. Make sure you're subscribing to the Athletic Audio Plus on Apple Podcasts to get all the bonus content from our entire network. You should see a lot of bonus content from me and Sean. Start with a 30-day free trial, then just 99 cents a month after that on The Athletic Audio Plus. And as Sean mentioned, you can go to theathletic.com/hockeyshow to get in at 50% off at The Athletic. Shout out to producer Jeff for lining up Jack Hughes. Great work by him as always. Sean, just remember, who cares? This isn't real.
Who cares? this isn't real.